You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Our number three is here. Welcome to the Roto Experts. What's going on, Corey?
Glad to be here. Obviously, been doing this for a long time now, but definitely happy to be here. Getting ready to have an interesting week, interesting conversations to have. You know, start to get ready for baseball. You got the championship Sunday. You got some fun stuff going on in basketball, golf. Everything is going in the right direction, Greg, and I'm happy to be here. So my voice is like it's got a frog in it a little bit, but I'll fix that.
Yeah, no, look, we're heading down to championship Sunday. After this week, it's kind of like the end for the NFL. The Super Bowl is 2 weeks away. I hate that. Well, I hate that week when, you know, there's nothing.
It's a tough week.
Tell us about it.
You think you hated before. That, wait till now.
Yeah. That, I mean, the Pro Bowl to me is like a joke. They shouldn't.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl is a joke.
Yeah. It's a joke. It's definitely a joke.
What's coming?
Baseball. Baseball is coming. Are you excited about that, Corey?
Pitches and catches.
About a month away.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It's not fun unless you're going to, like, go there.
Are you going there, Matt?
I've never been to spring training. I used to do the Arizona Fall League.
Right, but you don't do spring training also?
No, I haven't done it. I don't see myself, you know. It's a possibility I could end up somewhere, if you know.
Probably Florida.
We need someone to represent FNTSY in one of these leagues.
Do you take Scott with you? Oh, Scott wants to go down there.
Oh, God.
Day shift Scotty?
Matt's sitting there watching his seventh baseball game of the day. And Scott's nowhere to be found.
Scott's like, they got it on the TV.
Nah, you take Scott to spring training, that's going to be Kango Scott. You know, he's going to come with the Hawaiian shirt and the Kango. That's Kango Scott right there. It's a different Scott.
I agree. I agree with that. Finally, we're getting some clarity when it comes to these head coaches here.
This looks like it's coming together.
The Indianapolis Colts have basically told everybody, you're all out, because Josh McDaniels is their next head coach. The Lions have told everybody, you're all out, because Matt Patricia is their next head coach. The Giants have told, well, nobody, because they weren't those guys, but Pat Shurmur is going to be their next head coach.
I think the Giants won that. That's the guy I want.
What's Josh McDaniels going to do?
Arizona is in no man's land here. Arizona's going to hire, it looks like the two favorites for the Arizona job right now are Steve Wilks, of course, from Carolina, or the Patriots linebackers coach, Flores.
Oh, that's who?
Brian Flores.
The Pats linebackers coach.
Pats linebackers coach, not Vrabel, who could be a popular candidate in Tennessee if they go defensive.
Yeah. Interesting. Vrabel.
It is interesting. What are your thoughts on those coaches and those matches, Core?
No, I think so far, I think everybody's seeing what they want to do, but the Lions should have kept who they had.
If I'm the Colts job to me, I don't think Andrew Luck's healthy, so it's not that appealing.
All right. I imagine McDaniels would know that more than we
would. But how do we know? Nobody knows right now. They really don't.
You're right. All right. When we come back here on Roto Experts, monster brawl in the NBA. That wasn't. We'll talk about it next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, inside Studio 34. And The big news coming out of the NBA last night wasn't the Knicks actually winning a game in Brooklyn. But he was... Yes, they did beat the Nets.
The only team they can beat.
It wasn't the Warriors, once again, just taking it to Cleveland.
It's not a rivalry no more. That's over. That ship has sailed.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the Cavs are the worst NBA team versus the spread this season.
Lost by 10 at home against Golden State.
They can't do it. They need somebody else is going to have to challenge. You don't want to see a fourth round of this because this one might be a sweep this year, unless I don't think DeAndre Jordan's the guy. They need a big that can jump out on that perimeter, and nobody's available.
What do you make of this though? The Warriors had to shower in cold showers last night.
That was crazy
after the game.
So what you see? No, but that's the type of stuff that you do to your rivals, and I'm all for stuff like that. Yep, I'm all for stuff like that.
I paint the locker room pink like I
am. Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for stuff like that. Even when Pop turned the heat up on him, on the Heat.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's you do that.
But of course, following the Cavs loss to the Warriors last night, there is a growing sense of concern that the team doesn't have the ability to fix things.
Well, they have that pick. That pick might be number one pick in the draft.
Could be.
The thing about it is there somebody on the market right now that can help them?
Probably Kyrie Irving.
That's worth that number one pick. No, Isaiah Thomas would be fine.
Okay.
Obviously, the guy is Boogie. You would move that number one pick if you can get Boogie back.
Would you?
Yeah, why not?
Because the Pelicans didn't have to pay that for Boogie.
Yeah, but you're talking about somebody trying to win the championship. You put Boogie on that team, they have become a very tough problem for the Golden State Warriors.
They'll become a tough team. A Boogie may make that team explode.
What about...
I think you get in that situation and you know this is serious business right here. This is LeBron James. You playing for a championship. You see J.R. Smith ain't starting no trouble when he got out there.
It's because J.R. Smith has nowhere to have fun in Cleveland.
I mean, what about the Celtics getting that one more piece? I'm
Well, they got their piece. Their piece is injured.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, no, Gordon Hayward.
He's going to be back for the finals.
He could be back for the finals.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think you can rely on that. And if you got this team that's played well against the best teams, I mean, I think, you know, when they've gone up against the elite of the NBA, they've got it done. So I think that's the team for me to watch right now. If they can get another piece, which I don't think you can rely on him coming back. And if he did come back, how effective can they go
toe to toe with the Warriors with what they have now.
But that's what I'm saying.
Just to get that other thing, just, you know, I don't know. I look at the window. You wind up getting Kyrie. You got the draft pick. Tatum. Why not? You just said it's about winning championships, and you still got young players.
Oh, I don't. I totally disagree, Matt. This is a team that's young and up and coming. This is it. This is the team. This is what the team is going to be for years.
I think Boston's just staying pat where they are right now.
But if you can get, it doesn't have to be the star player.
Yeah, just the piece.
Even that guy off
why,
the bench.
But why are you acquiring anything? They have the best record in the league. What do you want them to do? It's a long season. What do you want them to do? Where can they improve at? What are you trying to do?
You're trying to acquire. I will get the piece that could, you know, come playoff time. If I got to face Golden State,
right,
that would give me the best chance to beat them in a 7-game series. Of course, like
how
you said,
do you say they don't? Maybe they have that.
Maybe they need that. You get that veteran guy.
Beating them in
the regular season in a game is one thing.
Of course.
Beating them in a series? I'm just saying, don't stand pat. Everybody's talking about the Warriors and
Cavs.
The Cavs. And what the Cavs can do,
right.
I'm still going to be looking for the Celtics to just lock everything down.
I totally disagree. I think the Cavs are 7.5 games worse than the Celtics right now. The Cavs are not nearly as good as they were. Boston's playing as good as any team in the NBA. They're currently like one game back with the Warriors for the best record in the NBA. And I don't think they need anything.
I just think it's January 16th.
I don't know what you... Tell me what they need.
I'm not saying I have the answer, but I'm saying not to stand pat. I'm not saying they got to blow up anything. But you
for what? What are you not staying pat for?
Who can go out? You need because they basically the teams that play well against the Warriors are the team that can have a big to jump out on Steph in those pick and rolls. Those players
they have
Who and who?
There's gonna have to be. It's gonna have to be Marcus Smart.
I'm about to say, yeah, exactly.
Has to be.
That's good right there, but that is not top. The way they're set up right now, they can take the Warriors to 6-7 games.
I agree.
The way they're set up right now. I just worry about them beating the Cavs.
Yeah, you know.
Because the Cavs are going to get a piece.
Of course. The Cavs are definitely going to get a piece.
The Cavs are going to get a piece. So it's going to be interesting to see what piece the Cavs bring in.
It's crazy how young the Boston Celtics are, by the way.
They're very well coached, too.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is the best.
He's the best. Their oldest player is Al Horford at 31 years old.
Yeah, and he's like just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
$4 million worth of salary on him.
No, he's like $27 million.
For this season.
$31 million, I think, this season. His base salary for Al Horford is $27 million.
Oh, yeah, okay, my bad. I'm looking at the wrong player.
Yeah, there you go. That makes more sense.
27 is that's a lot of money.
I'm looking forward to that. I hope they do take the Cavs down.
Yeah.
I'm Team Kyrie.
Yeah, absolutely. Team Kyrie,
I don't think you want to see Golden State.
Because I respect what he did.
He didn't let LeBron do it. He got out in front of that.
Yeah. I agree.
He said, "You're not going to dictate to me.
You're not going to leave me here with J.R. Smith. You're not going to leave me here with J.R. Smith and the oldest team in the NBA. And you in Los Angeles with the Ball family.
Big Ball of Brand presents.
You know what's brutal for the Cavs? Because LeBron's going to go to L.A. next year.
Oh, yeah. He's going to Los Angeles.
He's out of here.
He's out of there.
He'll play with Paul George and Lonzo and Brandon Ingram and do the whole thing in L.A.
Yep. That'd be the squad.
Feel bad for Cleveland. Not really.
They won a championship.
Yeah, they got it. They did.
They got their championship.
You
know what the Lakers really need LeBron, besides everything, how great he is?
Yeah.
Just to put
LeVar
LeVar in place. He's the one guy that can do it.
You're absolutely right.
LeVar not going to do too much talking with Braun out there.
LeBron will say, LeBron will kick us out off the team. LeBron will just kick us all off the team.
Like, move him.
You wonder what the NBA needs? They need the Deion Sanders guy. Like, you watch Deion Sanders, and it's great. He's just so raw and unfiltered. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, that guy deserves slap.
They have that guy, Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy keep it all the way 100. Jeff Van Gundy is that guy. They shouldn't stop. Listen, this is not BSO, but they should stop worrying about. I like what Pop said about Ball. Treat him like a fan, because that's what he is. He's a fan.
Well, that's why Pop's the best.
You a Popovich guy, Matt?
No, I think he's a tremendous coach. I mean, I don't think what he's saying is anything like groundbreaking. It's been a narrative that's been around for years. If you're successful, you give more to charity. You take it. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was on Wall Street and I was successful, I did a hell of a lot more for charity than I do now. And I still do for charity.
Yeah. Right.
But success breeds. Success is the best thing that ever happened to charity.
Yeah. If you're interested in donating to the Guggenheim Museum, please let me know.
Is that something Judy's on the board?
She works there. Okay. So yes. So that's the deal with the Cavs and the Celtics and whatnot. Now let's get to the fun stuff. Let's get to the fun stuff out there. So last night, Chris Paul faced the Los Angeles Clippers for the first time since leaving L.A. To go play in Houston. And the Clippers won. Clippers beat Houston again, still without James Harden. And Austin Rivers didn't play in this one. Austin Rivers has been banged up.
Street clothes,
yeah. In his
Kango
suit.
Scott.
Kango Austin.
Yeah.
But didn't stop him from yapping a little bit. Didn't stop him from running his mouth. So much so that game's over, minute left in the game. And Trevor Ariza, I guess he said something to Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
And Trevor Ariza goes, "Who the hell are you, boy?"
Yeah.
And Blake Griffin goes over to him and says, you don't talk to Austin Rivers like that. And they throw Blake out. And they throw Trevor Ariza out. So Blake, goes back to the locker room, starts shaking hands on his way out.
Typical Blake Griffin.
Doing the Blake thing while Austin Rivers is still on the bench. Still on the bench, saying whatever he needs to say.
In his suit, acting like he's tough.
Mm-hmm. So after the game, it seems like Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin bothered a few people with what they happened to say during the game. So much so that Chris Paul led a coup by the Houston Rockets into the locker room of the Los Angeles Clippers. And this was not just we're going to attack them. No, this was a well-thought-out and planned-out attack.
It was premeditated.
Los Angeles
this is right here gets you 25.
This was a legitimately...
I love the word coup.
A legitimate, premeditated plan by Chris Paul that I feel like he's been planning for weeks. They had Clint Capela go to the front and be like, hey, let me in. I got a problem with Blake. And they walk in the security and there's like,
I wonder how many times a season that happens to Blake Griffin.
And they're just like, whoa, 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 you can't come in the locker room. Meanwhile, nobody knows the locker room in the Staples Center like Chris Paul does.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows there's a secret entrance to go through like the trainer's room where they sneak out at the back. Well, Chris Paul snuck in the back. And so did James Harden. So did Trevor Ariza. Let's talk about
a new
that.
New spin on the word revenge game.
And what happened when we come back on Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
So we're back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And so we're talking about Blake Griffin, Austin Rivers, and Chris Paul. Chris Paul knows these guys, obviously.
Yeah.
Played with them for many years. And Chris Paul also knows his way around the locker room, of course, in the Staples Center. And he knows there's a back entrance to the trainer's room where players sneak out when they don't want to talk to the media and they just want to run out. And Chris Paul led his teammates, Ariza, Harden, through that entranceway to try to get and chat with Austin and Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, the LAPD was called, which...
Oh, boy. That's scary right there.
Which,
I saw that tape.
Which Shaq and Chuck thought was hilarious. And ultimately, nothing was said. Nothing happened. There was a lot of yelling and screaming, but ultimately, nothing happened. So, my question to you, Corey, is... What happened last night? What don't we know?
All right, so here's the situation. It's like this. It's a number of different things that go into place here. First and foremost is Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Blake Griffin's a chump. The thing about it is, Blake Griffin's a chump, but when he's on the court, he acts like he's not a chump. So, it's officials out there. It's security. You know, you can get suspended, fined, whatever. So Blake Griffin's talk big trash on the basketball court. Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, these dudes, they know Blake Griffin's a chump, and he's just showing out for the cameras because he's on court. Blake Griffin's not about that life, and neither is Austin Rivers by any stretch of the imagination.
Obviously.
That's first and foremost with these two dudes. They're not about that, but they're out there in the safety zone talking big trash. So Paul probably says, let's go back into the locker room, because I guarantee you if we show up in this locker room, they're not going to be talking that trash. So they go in that locker room, and more than likely, they were like, well, how'd you get in here? What's going on? Somebody call the cops. That's more than likely exactly how it played out, because they were not going to go. Blake Griffin was not the type of dude that's going to be like, okay, meet me outside. That's not Blake Griffin. And that damn sure ain't Austin Rivers.
Well, let me follow that up.
I'm not a fan of what they did, going through the back.
Let me follow that up for you for a second. Obviously, Chris Paul knows his way around and goes to the back. Chris Paul played with these dudes for years. Like, normally you see this. Like, Lou Williams played for Houston last year.
Yeah.
And as Trevor Ariza, like, got all upset, it was Lou Williams that's like, relax. And like, Lou Williams has been around the block. He's played with every team in the NBA. And he's like, chill out. Chris Paul, who played with these guys for years and obviously did not have nearly the amount of success that he wanted, he led these guys through a back door to get in. What made Chris Paul so angry at Blake Griffin and Austin Rivers?
Because Blake Griffin and Austin Rivers was fronting. They're talking big trash on the basketball court, but that's not who they are in real life.
Agree, but what,
Chris Paul wants to dispel that.
Wouldn't Chris Paul just be like his teammates, like, listen, these guys are whatever. No.
Come into the locker room and let me show you what they're going to do. Nothing.
I, if it was me, it was my team, and three guys came into the locker room.
Try to kill him.
That's the message you got to send.
I agree.
Look, Chris Paul going into the back of the locker room, I'm not down with that either. I don't know. It's a little crazy, though. It is immature a little crazy.
Man, you're right. Immature move for Paul. Paul should be better than this.
Well, you're not a big Chris Paul guy, right?
No, I'm not a big Chris Paul guy. Chris Paul don't like Steph Curry either.
Right.
So, and I that's why. And Chris Paul's, you know, not really his. I'm not really the biggest fan of Chris Paul. But Chris Paul is more respected in NBA circles than a guy like Blake Griffin or Austin Rivers is. So that him going back in there is a little bit of immature, a lot of immaturity on Chris Paul and what he does. But for the most part, he was trying to act a little bit tougher than he is, too.
Okay.
There's a lot of just a whole bunch of people
whole
fronting.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like he went in with, he took a couple guys with him to come in. If you were that, you know.
Going through the front door.
Yeah. You're going to go to the back. You're going by yourself, you're that tough.
Yeah, exactly. Going, yeah. Going by whatever. You think Charles Oakley would have went with? With nobody.
Nah,
he would not need nobody. Zach Randolph would have went. No, but nobody.
No,
but by himself.
Sure.
Chris Paul, not that guy.
Well, Chris Paul was. Look at who he brought. I felt James Harden with him.
Yeah, he brought James Harden. Dude, meant to be the MVP. James Harden ain't gonna fight nobody.
JP, like, oh, what are you gonna go for?
Trevor Ariza might fight somebody.
Trevor Ariza could fight someone.
Yeah, but not James Harden. James Harden's not about that life. But he wanted to show James Harden how soft Blake Griffin was. But Blake Griffin, the whole league knows that. Look, and then the Austin Rivers kid, you in a suit. Chris Paul don't like you anyway, so it's like that whole thing was a bad look from the first place.
Not for nothing, I'm going to be honest. I think that, you know, there was nothing after that was going to go down.
Yeah.
Do you think the theatrics?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you think when Doc gets fired at some point, do you think Austin Rivers ever play again in the NBA?
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's a veteran. He has a skill set. He can be a body on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers ain't gonna be out the NBA for long, though.
He was.
Somebody else will give Doc Rivers full control over their organization.
Because Austin Rivers was nothing before he got to the Clippers. And then all of a sudden, he was playing 30 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Nepotism.
It's like the dad in the, you know.
Yep, the nepotism. I'm put him in. I can't. I'm not going to take care of you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to take care of you.
Pitching every other day.
Yeah. Is this a rumor? Or didn't.
What?
His daughter. Did his daughter have something with Paul George?
Doc Rivers' daughter?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't want to speak on that.
It seems like a you question.
I think so. It might be the case.
Yeah.
Might want to Google Paul George and Doc Rivers' daughter.
Maybe you'll do that during the break.
Yeah.
Okay.
May not be able to talk about it on the radio, though, as I'm starting to think about it.
All right, maybe you can explain to me what the hell is going on during the break.
Maybe Google it during the break.
Okay. So the other major story in the NBA last night was Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook was ejected last night from the Thunder's game, and Carmelo Anthony said, quote, "I'm done with them," in regards to the officials. "I'm done with the refs. No disrespect, but I am done with those guys." As Russell Westbrook had two quick technical fouls with about 2.5 minutes remaining, OKC went up beating the Kings.
Why do people say no disrespect when they do that? That's all. You know you're going after them, and no disrespect to me is it? I mean, I don't know. Look, Melo, I don't get it. You know, whatever.
He should be happy not to be in New York no more.
Yeah, exactly. He got his out. And
people, like, listen, I understand the argument that people don't come to see the referees. I'm not quite sure. I think it was something with a traveling violation, and Russell Westbrook kind of lost his mind over that.
So basically, Westbrook was called Westbrook, in his mind, got smacked, got called for traveling instead of the foul. He went ballistic when they called the travel on him, got thrown out of the game. Melo defended him. Westbrook did not talk to the media after the game.
Yeah, Westbrook is not going to talk to media. That's the kind of player he is. He's not going to do that. He's a very immature guy, too. I mean, a dynamically talented basketball player. But now he got up. He took umbrage with the call, got a quick tee, kept talking trash, and teed him up again. And Carmelo coming to the defense of a teammate. But, yeah, he was hit on the play, but it's not something that you should have been thrown out the game for.
Melo said this, quote, "The game has changed a lot since I came in 15 years ago. The players and the officials had that dialogue, whether it was good or whether it was bad. There's always a point where they would let you get a little steam off, and they come to you and say, that's enough, let's move on." This comes last week,
that's
actually.
Not every ref is not like that, though.
It's true.
Every ref is not like that.
And now the trigger is too quick, said Melo. Again, this is last week. You look at somebody wrong, you get a technical foul. You say one wrong thing, you get a technical foul. So I think that's the difference from when I came in. The dialogue and communication and the relationship the players and the officials had when I first came in from now
that
are
could
very
come,
different.
But that can come down from the NBA. We're not on the court. We don't know. We don't know what's going on the court. it could be more situations like last night and with the Clippers and the Rockets that could be about to take place. So they might be trying to nip it in the bud quicker.
My advice to Melo is be lucky you didn't play in the 80s and 90s.
Billy Donovan said after the game that the official made a terrible mistake and he acknowledged it. I was yelling to the other official across the floor to get his attention, and the guy just teed me up. And he came by and he apologized to me. So I definitely didn't deserve a tee. I know when I deserve one. I didn't get a full glimpse to see what Russell did at that moment, so I'm not going to make a comment for him. But I know what happened with me, and that was really, really unfortunate, and they even acknowledged that.
Yeah, that's good, but it's unfortunate for Russell Westbrook, but it happens. Like, okay, for example, the situation from earlier this year, beginning of the season, when Steph threw the mouthpiece, did he been teed up for that?
Yeah.
Didn't he throw it at the ref?
He threw it. He didn't throw it at the ref.
I don't think he should have teed up
for that.
You're
pretty much upstaging the guy.
But he's getting his frustration out.
Look, come on. Unless you're a fool, you know what it's all about. You have to have some sort of decorum and stuff, and you can't be showing up refs all the time, especially when you're star players. That's the way I look at it in any sport. You know, it's same thing would hold true in baseball. You know, you can
take that strike three
words,
on the ear.
You know, once you start looking back at the ump and upstaging them and stuff, you're going to get either tossed. That's how it's going to go. So, you know, everybody wants to blame the refs for everything. They're going to make mistakes.
What do you think about when they say, well, people don't watch for the refs. They don't come to the game to see the refs. What do you think about that narrative when players say that? When Bryce Harper takes, caught looking strike three on the inside corner, he starts barking back and forth with the ref, and they throw him out the game.
You can't have the quick hook to be like that. But if Bryce Harper, look, it's in the rules. You can't argue it. If Bryce Harper wants to stand at the plate, pretty much look down and mutter and say, like, you know, what's going on here? Yeah. Be all pissed off. That's fine. But, you know, there is rules. There is rules in the game. People obviously aren't coming to see. I hate when everybody puts on Twitter, ump show.
It's
tiring.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a Jake thing.
Well, to be fair, I don't know if Jake's put ump show out there. There are others that consistently tweet it out.
Just telling you how I feel, how I see it. All right, we'll take a break here, guys. When we come back, a couple other NBA notes I want to get to, including Dave Yeager in Sacramento doing something really smart. And Corey Seisler lit up. I was like, well, Sacramento, smart. Well, that doesn't make sense. We'll talk about that. I want to go over some of the box scores from last night because we talked about the big stories, but I haven't actually talked about any players. We'll also preview tonight's game, a four-game slate for you tonight. And we will wrap up the show with Jake, of course, with a major, major important note with Jake Seeley when we wrap it up in a little bit. A lot more to come. It's the Roto Experts. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Said shockingly, the Kings are doing something smart. I know it seems unbelievable.
Sacramento Kings.
Yes. Not like the Scott Angles.
I'm still surprised Sacramento has a franchise. That they've been able to hold on.
They've been able to hold on for this long, yeah. So, what did they do? Basically, after the loss to the Thunder last night, the Kings, who have one of the worst records in the NBA, again, they currently sit in the Western Conference, in dead last, 13-30, which puts them just one game or better than the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Or a half game better, I should say. The Kings announced that they're done playing their veterans, that they're going to rest two of them every night, and they're going to just go straight young.
I mean, that's they gotta figure out what they're gonna do with this franchise, if they're gonna disband, if they're gonna go with, they're gonna move to the NCAA. They be playing in the ACC next year. They gotta figure out what they're gonna do. So maybe it is time to sit some of these veterans, see what these young guys got. Obviously, tanking is a situation. The Atlanta Hawks are that bad though.
The Atlanta Hawks are that bad.
And Gucci Man beat them games every night. I feel bad for him. They got to watch that.
They
every
knew
night.
They were going to be mad, man. They got rid of everybody, right? They got rid of Horford. Yeah, they got rid of Millsap. Yeah. They completely broke it down.
I wouldn't have bought that.
But that's the thing, right? Like, once they were the number one overall seed, they wind up losing. And after that, like, when you can't beat Cleveland, you can't beat Boston.
Blow it up.
Blow it up.
Yep.
Be as bad as possible. There's no
it makes sense.
Reason to be 5-8. It's useless.
Yeah, and see if you can get lucky in the lottery. It's not like they play in a city where people are like trying to get out of.
What's crazy is I'm 4 years older than Vince Carter. This guy's still here.
Yo, that's wild, yo. That's wild. That's wild.
Yep.
That's wild. I remember when they to think that Vince Carter is still playing basketball is crazy. How many kids he got? Why is he still playing?
Let's see if I can find that out for you. Oh, you didn't tell me the story during the break. I forgot about that. Paul George.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's see. He has a daughter with this person. Let's see here. Vince Carter.
Yeah, I don't care how many kids he's got. Well,
I was trying to answer your question.
He made some big money.
Too. He makes money for
him.
He should be all right.
He was one of the big faces of the NBA.
Yeah, he should be all right. He should have enough money where. And I don't think Vince Carter ain't the dude that be out there partying. You can't do that if you're 44 playing basketball. So he's got to be taking good care of himself. So yeah, that's wild. Yeah, shout out to Vince Carter. Is that like a got to be just like a love for the game to still be
I'm
out
sure
there
is.
At that age?
I'm
Vince
sure
Carter
is. But like I said, the Kings.
Vince Carter was a Tar Heel the same time my sister was.
She's still a young woman, though.
Huh? Yeah.
She's still a young woman.
She's not for NBA purposes. On WNBA purposes, she would be a ringer.
The Kings, as we said, lost to the Thunder, and the Clippers in that game against the Rockets where the fight was started. Clippers won, actually, 113
to 102.
Yeah,
they beat them up.
Clippers are now over 500, by the way, and have actually snuck into the seventh spot.
Yeah, they're the seventh seed, so Doc trying to put it together the best way he can. But
just giving Lou Williams the ball.
Yeah, basically, that's it. Lou Williams balling right now this season. Like, I never seen him before. So that was a nice win for the Clip joint last night. They might light a fire under them, but, like, I'm like the rest of the NBA. I'm not buying Blake Griffin.
But like you said with the Hawks, if you can't beat the Cavs,
blow it up.
The Clippers aren't there.
No, God, no.
So like, why? Why not?
Listen, I agree. And they basically have. Like, they shouldn't have re-signed Blake Griffin.
That's what I'm saying.
You've been saying all year.
You
know, they shouldn't have re-signed Blake Griffin. That was obviously a mistake. Lou Williams put up 31-9.
Well, it's still the Clip joint. It's still the Staples Center. You have you have to have an attraction on the team.
Do you know that the Clippers have zero numbers retired?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Zero.
Not even dude that's the general manager for the Nets? Didn't he play for them?
No, he's an Australian dude.
Not the Nets. No.
Sean Marks.
Oh, the Nets.
I'm trying to think. Is it, what's his name? Is that Elgin Baylor? Was he?
Elgin Baylor was one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get up in the Raptors.
I guess not.
Well, Donald Sterling was not going to put Elgin Baylor in the Raptors.
Well, Donald Sterling's gone now. You got money bags.
You do indeed. 29-10-6 for Blake Griffin in this game last night. Tyrone Wallace had 12, as did Milos Teodosic. People thought you'd get a revenge game for Montrezl Harrell. He put up 10-6 off the bench for the Clippers. On the other side, every Rocket was in double figures last night, led by Chris Paul's 19 and Eric Gordon's 19. Paul had 19-7-6 in his revenge game against the Clippers.
Yeah, you know, well, Paul came in there, did his thing. Healthy Chris Paul, going to be interesting to see. That's going to be some good matchups between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets, especially with those two point guards that are not the best of friends.
Without Lonzo Ball last night, the Lakers fell to the Grizzlies 123-114. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 27. Josh Hart had 16. Off the bench, Kyle Kuzma and Larry Nance Jr. each had both very solid games for the Grizzlies. They were led by Derrick Brooks' 19.
What's the latest on the Lithuania situation with LaMelo?
I don't know. I was trying to get like a week out of not doing it.
Oh, we're off that already?
Trying to just do, you know, a week off of Lithuania. If we can. I mean, if there's a story, there's a story. There's no story right now with the Lithuanian balls.
My bad.
You look confused. Is there a story I'm missing here?
No. I just got a crazy email. So the situation is
We'll move on.
Oh, okay.
Hey, so on this day, by the way, as a football from NBA, I'll go back to it in a second. On this day in sports history, I know you guys enjoy this segment. Mm-hmm. 1988, the St. Louis Cardinals football franchise officially moved to Phoenix. Where the Arizona Cardinals are. That's the only real note I have from this day in history. But I got a couple birthdays today. Roy Jones Jr. It was his birthday. It is his birthday. Happy birthday, Roy.
Once upon a time, it was great to watch him box.
He was the best performer.
He was in Studio 34 about a month ago. Sitting right where you are, Corey.
Really?
Yeah, Roy Jones Jr.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He kind of hit that cliff. Like, when that cliff came for him, it came. But up until that point, he was...
Another cliff came for the next guy whose birthday it is. El Hombre! Albert Pujols. Angels first baseman still. The St. Louis Cardinals, man, they knew what they were doing. Not offering him everything, not offering him the franchise to stay.
Well, yeah, they were offering him a nice amount of money, though.
Of course.
Artie Moreno stepped in and saved him, too. Let's be real here. And it's a shame. I don't like seeing players like this kind of like just hang around. Look, I'm not trying to feel bad for him in the fact that he's getting like $30 million a year. I'm just saying, when you're at that level, I don't like seeing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's sad. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's sad. So that was that. And then I thought you could find this interesting, Corey, this particular note. Not another birthday, but evidently, Jamie Lynn Sigler, the girl, Meadow Soprano.
Yeah.
Okay. She married Lenny Dykstra's kid 2 years ago.
Oh, at least she didn't marry Lenny Dykstra. That's the point I'm taking away from you. Lenny crazy. Lenny, a criminal.
I wouldn't worry about her if she didn't marry Lenny Dykstra, too.
She married Cutter Dykstra.
Okay.
Named his son Cutter.
After a pitch. All right, cool.
Was Cutter the Met prospect then? I know the Mets got one of the Dykstras.
I think it was. I believe it was the Mets prospect. Let's see here. He doesn't have his own Wikipedia, Cutter. Cutter was drafted by the Brewers in the second round of 2008. Played in the Nationals organization. So maybe not.
Yeah, the Mets did draft Dykstra. It was a different name. I'm trying to think of those.
Well, he had another son, Luke Dykstra, who was drafted by the Braves in 2014.
Yeah, that's not the name.
And now a member of the Cardinals. I thought it was Cutter that played for the Mets. Maybe not, though.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Okay, a couple of minutes left here before we have to hit the break. A little preview of tonight's NBA slate for you. Four games on it in DFS tonight. You got Minnesota at Orlando. You have New Orleans at Boston. Dallas at Denver. And Phoenix at Portland, Corey.
Yeah, interesting slate going down tonight as you get out of MLK Day. Obviously, it's going to be a little less marquee matchups on the slate. But when you look at what you got for tonight, man, I think you have to like just looking a quick go through. You got to like Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, you like the Blazers. Blazers and Suns currently off the board, trying to figure out exactly who's going to play and who's not in that one. Shabazz Napier, remember, left this game last one. The highest over-under on the board right now is Minnesota and Orlando, which is interesting. Just tells you just how bad it's gotten for the Orlando Magic. You may want to get Jeff Teague in there against the point guard against Elfrid Payton. Teague could be a good start for you. Of course, Kyrie in the small slate is good too. All the Timberwolves, given the implied point total, are going to be your best option at this time.
Minnesota
is in Orlando. And then you get the Boston guys. So right now, as we still wait for more information on the Suns and the Blazers, I think, Corey, you look to Boston and you look to Minnesota.
Yeah, I think those are two situations where you can look at right here also to get some DFS work. Wow, this is interesting because you do... the pace here, this game she's going to be played at a high pace, too. You probably can get a lot of Celtics in this lineup.
Yeah. I think that'll be a fun one. Remember the last time Anthony Davis played for the Pelicans, put up like 48 at the Garden.
Yeah, and you just don't know with him, though.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when he decided to take a day off or just leave the game.
Interesting note by Brian Windhorst, I think, who posted that two organizations in this offseason in the NBA had trade offers or had trade requests from star players. The Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge, which we talked about.
That was wild.
How Pop was just like, listen, I can drive you to the airport when Kevin Durant come back, but no one's trading me Kevin Durant for you, so we got to figure out how to make this work. And they talked it out, and they ate, and they drank, and they figured it out. And
they had good times.
And now they get along well, because that's Pop. Kyrie went to the Cavs and was just like, I want to be traded. And they're like, okay, goodbye. Two different ways that the franchises handle.
Yeah, well, the Kyrie situation was different. Kyrie probably was like, no, I have to go. Him or me. Yep. One of us have to go.
You're right.
and you know they wasn't going to move
him. I think that was a tremendous move. I will state that. That's why I'm a big fan of him now.
But
tremendous business move by him.
Smart.
And like what Pop did, pretty much he said, look, if I can get equal value for you, you're gone. If not, you're going to be here. So it's not like he's not getting compensated.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I would be surprised. I feel like when it comes to trade requests, you'd be like, you have a contract, you have to play for them.
I mean, it all depends. If I can get back equal value, you don't want to be here? Like, I don't believe in, like, 2 weeks' notice. If I have a company and you don't want to work here anymore, you give me 2 weeks' notice, thank you, good luck, goodbye. Okay. I don't need you for 2 weeks.
That sounds about right. All right, we'll take a break. Jake Seeley will join the program, and we'll go over a very interesting note that Jake's going to care about a lot. I'm excited to talk to you about it when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Final five of the program here at Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, Matt Modica, now joined by the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
Not too much, Greg. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. You're right. You got a little cough in your voice today.
Yeah, dumbass roommate got sick and doesn't know how to take care of himself.
Oh, boy. And now your money maker's hurt.
Yeah, doing my best. Getting through it.
All right, make sure you take some medicine. We need the voice sounding good, Jakey.
Yeah, we'll be good.
All right, the big news that I've been promoting all show that I know you're going to be excited about. Can you believe who Aaron Rodgers is dating?
I heard it days ago. I'm not excited about it at all.
Days ago? I heard this yesterday from multiple sources that Aaron Rodgers, who dated Olivia Munn for years, is now dating bad race car driver Danica Patrick. Like, whoa!
Yeah. I still don't care. He's still not human. He's not likable. Stop with these commercials trying to pretend like he's a likable person with the dog and having fun on the beach. He's not a likable person. I don't believe it.
My question to you, Jake, is Danica Patrick a likable person?
Yeah, possibly not if she's dating Aaron Rodgers. I mean, at least Olivia Munn finally realized just that. Like you heard the reports, she realized how miserable a person he is. So, or maybe Danica is, maybe too, or maybe she's going to find out as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. So Danica, like, dumped the race car, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I think his name was, that they were dating for like 5 years. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, you. And she's like, okay! And now they're dating.
Yeah, it's I like I said, I couldn't care less, honestly. I don't really care who people are dating.
I thought the Aaron Rodgers, Danica Patrick news would be interesting.
I think it's a PR piece.
I'm not going to continue on.
No,
with
no,
that.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right, PR piece. Good well, for
wasn't
both
he
them.
Tied to
Olivia Munn, yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, so yeah, Danica Patrick, Aaron Rodgers, the new Hollywood it couple.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Well, fair enough. My next question is a little baseball related, Jake. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Andrew McCutchen trade from yesterday. McCutchen rumored to head on over to the Giants all offseason. It finally happens. What did you think of the McCutchen trade from both sides?
You have to stay tuned in the Fantasy Frenzy to find out. No, I'm just kidding. Like this truth is we're going to talk about it. But it's a lateral move, honestly. He's going to get a little bit worse situation. But if you look at it, I charted it out with the over the last 3 years, and I showed the overlay of all of his home runs from the last 3 years, 75 home runs.
Right.
If every single one was in AT&T Park, if, which is obviously not going to happen because he's also going to get to play in Colorado a heck of a lot more. He had 7 home runs that definitively would have been taken away, about 9 or 10 maybe at most. And that's over 3 years, and that's if every home run. So all the people panicking about how tough it is for righties in that park, similar to Kauffman Stadium, I don't think it's going to be that big of an effect. He might hit at the top of this order, which would help his run production, obviously hurt the RBIs, but I think it's just basically he's going to have the same value. I think that he might end up turning out to be a draft value because people are going to start sliding him down way too afraid of that park.
I kind of like where he's going now. I think, you know, he had a good year last year. He really did. 2016 was not good. I think on an MLB level, it's a very good thing for the Giants. I think if the pitching can stay healthy, they could be competitive.
Yeah, they definitely could. What did you think of what they got in return, though, Jake?
You mean nothing?
Oh, well, that seems harsh.
It is
no, it's true. They got nothing.
Okay. Well, they got 2 players back. One of them was like a first-round pick.
Basically nothing.
Yeah, if they would have got Beattie back, maybe I would have been a little more intrigued.
All right, well, clearly everyone's high on this. So everyone's mad at Neil Huntington. Okay.
He's waiting too long to make the move.
Coming up next on The Frenzy, Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, Matt Modica will not talk about bad baseball players, I think. Stick around. Roto Experts will be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a good one, everybody.